Scripture reading is from Revelation of chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Can you put it on the screen? Because my Bible is a King James Version. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds, and you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up! Strengthen what remains and about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember therefore what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not sold their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who are victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge the name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
ヨハネの黙示録3章1節から6節。なんか聞こえてない。ヨハネの黙示録3章1節から6節。またサルデスにある教会の御使いに書き送れ、神の7つの御霊および7つの星を持つ方がこう言われる。私はあなたの行いを知っている。あなたは生きているとされているが、実は死んでいる。目を覚ましなさい。そして死にかけている他の人たちを力づけなさい。私はあなたの行いが私の神の御前に全うされたとは見ていない。だからあなたがどのように受け、また聞いたのかを思い出しなさい。それを固く守り、また悔い改めなさい。もし目を覚まさなければ、私は当人のように来る。あなたには私がいつあなたのところに来るか決してわからない。しかしサルデスにはその衣を汚さなかった者が幾人かいる。彼らは白い衣を着て私と共に歩む。彼らはそれにふさわしいものだからである。勝利を得る者はこのように白い衣を着せられる。そして私は彼の名を私の父の見舞いと御使いたちの前で言い表す。なんて書いてますか。耳のある者は御霊が諸教会に言われることを聞きなさい。
Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for bringing us together here to worship you, Jesus. And Lord, we do invite you to be amongst us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come and fill this place, fill our hearts, and we ask, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that understands your ways. Lord, we pray for more than just information today, but Father, we pray that you would give us a revelation and impartation of your goodness, Lord, of your grace in our lives. We thank you so much again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Great.
All right, that's good. Two of you are doing great. The rest of you have already fallen asleep. Okay, I'll try to make this quick and painless as possible. But we've been going through the book of Revelation, or the churches in Revelation, and today we're at the church in Sardis. And of course, we're doing the study of these churches because we at JCCT, we want to set a firm foundation. And we want to look at the first century church and see what they did well, see what they didn't do well, and learn from their mistake and learn from their victories. And we also know that the book of Revelation is about not just the present time, but about the future. And so I believe there are just revelation of the last day churches within these seven churches, historical churches, but I believe they still speak to us today. Amen. Anyway, the church in Sardis, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars of God." And the first thing, and I've said this for all the churches, the first thing, and one of the most important things that the church must do is reveal who Christ is. We as a church must continually have a revelation of Jesus Christ. And for most of us, we start out as Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord. But it needs to grow. And what I mean it needs to grow is the church in Sardis, Jesus reveals himself as the one who holds the seven spirits and the seven stars. And you know, Jesus will reveal himself to you in a personal way as well. I remember hearing a story of a speaker who, him and his son, they went to go fishing. And the son, this was the first time the son went fishing, I believe. And so the speaker wanted his son to catch a fish. You know, you must... you could probably imagine what that feels like. His father taking him fishing for the first time. He hopes his son catches a fish. They're out there fishing all day, and the son doesn't catch a fish. And then the dad is just frustrated, and he says, "Forget it, let's just go home. It's getting dark, we need to go home." And the son says, "No, Dad, let me just cast my line one more time." And the dad was already frustrated, kind of like, what's the use, what's the point, you're not going to catch it. And he was more disappointed than his son, but he said, "Okay, fine, you could cast the line one more time." He cast his line, and what do you know, he catches a fish. And then he says, "Dad, I know who God is. He is the God of the seventh cast, because that was the seventh time he cast his line." And that was just a new revelation of who God was to his son. And to each and every one of us, I believe God will reveal himself in a personal way as well. And to the church in Sardis, he reveals himself as the one who has the seven spirits and the seven stars. And I believe this reveals that Jesus, the seven spirits is not a mystery. In Revelation, if you want to look at it, chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstand is this: the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." And we see earlier in Revelation, the seven spirits of God is a reference to the Holy Spirit. And so we don't have to guess or try to figure out what these mean. These things mean is this: the seven spirits of God is the Holy Spirit. And I believe Jesus was saying he is the source of life when he references the Holy Spirit. He is the source of life, of eternal life. And eternal life, just to straighten things out, eternal life isn't necessarily living forever. I believe each and every one of us, we will live forever. Now, whether it's in heaven or hell, it's a decision on your part. But eternal life is more than just merely living and existing forever. But eternal life is knowing Jesus Christ and knowing God the Father. That is eternal life. And Jesus, I believe, is saying, in him, he has eternal life. The sevenfold spirits of God. And if you want to know more about the sevenfold spirits of God,
there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 11 that talks about a sevenfold spirit of God. You can look at that, but I believe just that the number seven signifies perfection as well. The perfect one. And the seven stars talks about the seven angels of the seven churches. We won't talk about that today. Let's move on. Anyways, well, I believe Jesus is simply saying he is the head of the church. He is the head of the church. And he holds in his hands seven angels of the church. And a lot of times in the Bible, when you see the word stars, it's a reference to angelic beings. Anyways, he says, I know your works. You have a name of being alive, but you are dead. Now, a lot of times, in the past, I used to teach Sardis was a church that actually did nothing right. All the other churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Philadelphia, Laodicea, they did some things right. And God, Jesus encouraged those churches for what they did well. And I used to say Sardis is one of those churches that actually didn't do anything well. But I think I'm going to change my mind now. Right here on the pulpit, I am changing my mind. No, but I believe I believe that's a good thing. Sardis actually had a good thing. They had a good name, a good reputation. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is more desirable than riches. If you have a good reputation or a good name, it opens up a lot of doors. Amen. I mean, if you're famous, I don't know why, but if you're famous, you get more perks. I have not experienced that. I'm just saying I don't know the common knowledge. Just if you're famous, it just opens more doors. The rich and famous, they get more free stuff than they need, right? A good name is a desirable thing, and Sardis actually had a good name. But a good name can become an idol. If you remember the story of the Tower of Babylon, the reason why they began to build that tower was so that they would have a lasting name. They would make an impression on this earth. They were seeking a good name. And so even though a good name is a good thing, it can become an idol, just like it did in the Tower of Babylon. And when it comes to just glorifying God, a lot of times we get in the way of that, of seeking our own glory. And I believe Sardis was a church that started out glorifying God, but in the process, just the human process of glorifying God got in the way and just started glorifying itself and just went on the reputation it had of being a good church. All that to say is this, JCCT has a good name within our conference. And perhaps you yourself have a good name amongst your peers. But how do you stand before God? Does that good name hold up in God's eyes? You know, outward appearance can be deceptive. Of course, throughout the Bible, it talks about wolves in sheep's clothing. 2 Corinthians 11:14 talks about Satan comes to us as an angel of light. And it just outward appearance can be deceptive. Can be deceptive. A good name can be deceptive. And that's what he was saying to the church in Sardis. He says, I know your deeds. So they were actually doing things. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, or you have a good name, but you are dead. Wake up. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death. And what I believe Jesus was saying is, when he was saying, you are dead, and wake up and strengthen what remain in it as at the point of death, is I believe Jesus was simply saying, you have disconnected yourself from me, the source of life. It's kind of, I guess, a paradox. I mean, I believe that once you are saved, you are always saved. But there is a choice that we can make of being connected to Jesus or being disconnected to Jesus. And when we choose to disconnect ourselves from Jesus, and a lot of times that looks outwardly disconnecting yourself from the church, although that's not all what it always means. But when you disconnect yourself from Christ, a byproduct, I believe, is disconnecting yourself from the church, is that even though you're not literally dead, spiritually, when you separate yourself from the source of life, you are dead. Death will occur. And let me just say this, that what we have as a church is unlike any organization, institution, and religion. What I mean by that is, in any institution, such as school, you know, you simply just pretty much have to show up, right? You do the work, you show up, and you're okay. I remember going to Japanese school. Well, shoot. Not just Japanese school. I honestly don't know how I passed high school. I seriously don't. I never did homework at home. I always did homework at school. I just showed up. I was really an underachiever in high school. My parents didn't push me or anything. I didn't care about college. If I wasn't on the basketball team, and if the basketball team didn't require a C average to play, I think I would have dropped out. I mean, it's just, there was no motivation for me to be at school. But I just showed up. I think I did the work. I must have passed the test. And I graduated. I mean, I was just there. I just showed up. And you can do that with school, right? I kind of did that with seminary. I put more effort in seminary. Let me just, anyways. All right. Forget I said that. Can we rip? But when it comes to church, and when it comes to our faith, when it comes to Christianity, you can show up all you want. It's not like you're going to get tested. It's not like the pastor here is going to give you an A, B, C. I mean, if it was up to me, all of you would get A's, okay? It's not up to me. You can show up to church all you want. Actually, you can show up to do your Bible study, pray, give. You could do all of those disciplines, and Jesus could still be talking to you and saying, wake up, you're dead. I have found your works incomplete. Because this is not like school. This is not like this is not a job. I mean, you know, 9-to-5 job. This is like my confession time. Okay, I'm going to confess. I used to work at this, you know, Countrywide mortgaging company. And some days, I would just show up and absolutely do very little work. I'm sure some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Is it just me? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? I'm just going to tell you. There's more personality on that. No, just kidding. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You just go to work, and some day it's just like you're sitting there in front of your computer and you don't really do anything. For you young people, close your ears. Don't listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying do that. I'm just saying there are days like that. And let me tell you, church is different. In that it is not simply a matter of showing up and doing the work. I think Sardis just, it got confused. It just started to just show up, or it just started to just go through the motions. And they fell asleep. What's interesting about Sardis is it was a city built on a hill. What was, I guess, almost an impenetrable hill where a lot of times raiders or if they would, it would be hard to ransack that city. But twice it was ransacked. And both of those times it got ransacked was because the people that were on guard fell asleep. They simply fell asleep. They were at their job, but they fell asleep. And I believe the church in America is a sleeping giant. In that what the church can accomplish, here in America, I'm not talking about a church anywhere else, but here in America, it can accomplish greater deeds than what we can ever imagine. It can. A lot of times I believe we put too much trust in the education system, too much trust in our government, too much trust in, you know, all these other institutions. When in reality, if the church wakes up and begins to press in, and if that prayer that we're supposed to pray, "Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven," actually happens, imagine what the world will be like. The implication of that prayer, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we know in heaven, well, I've never been there, but apparently in heaven there are no sickness. There is no poverty. Your will in heaven, done here on earth. Jesus said to his disciples, pray that way. So I believe what we can accomplish as a church is far greater than what we can imagine. Jesus says, "For I have not found your works perfect or complete in the sight of my God." Now, Jesus, if you have your Bibles, turn real quick with me to John 17. "I have not found your works perfect or complete in the sight of my God." John 17, of course, if you know the Gospel of John, chapter 17 is towards the end of Jesus' life. And let me read from verse 1. He says, after Jesus said this, this is John 17, 1. "After Jesus said this, he looked towards the heaven and prayed, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those who you given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.'" I talked about that already, but here it is in verse 4. He says, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. I have brought glory on earth. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." Now, what did Jesus say into the church of Sardis? "I have not found your works completed or perfect in the sight of my God." And so they were being judged because they did not finish their assignment. And so I got to say this to you. Finish the assignment that God has given to you. And each and every one of you has an assignment from God. I believe each and every one of you, each and every family, each and every church, each and every city, each and every people group has an assignment, a redemptive assignment from God. Now, it doesn't have to be as great as going around and preaching the gospel to all the peoples of the earth. It could be simple as praying for your family. That could be your assignment. It could simply just be faithful to the job you're at. That could be your assignment. But to each and every one of you, He has given an assignment. And a lot of times, to know what that assignment is just simply where God has given you passion. Does that make sense? And so a lot of you have a passion to do this, that, and that. And oftentimes it comes out as, Pastor, hey, how come you're not doing this, that, and that? Well, guess what? I can't finish your assignments, okay? You guys have to finish your assignment. I have my assignment I have to finish. Now, I get it. When you were growing up and you had an assignment to do, you'd ask your dad to do it. I know. I did that too. Whenever I had like a science project, I had two older brothers, and so I just had them do it. I get that process. But you guys are all grown up now. I'm not going to finish your assignment for you. In fact, I can't finish your assignment for you. You got to finish it on yourself. You have to know what that assignment is and finish it. I could pray for you. I could encourage you. I may be able to equip you. But I can't do it for you. You all have an assignment. I have my assignment, and that's tough enough for me to finish on my own. But it says, Jesus here says, I have brought you glory by finishing the work you gave me to do. If you finish your assignment, you will bring glory to God. That assignment will bring glory to God. Now, I'm not talking about work-based love or work-based salvation. I'm talking about a work-based glory, though. I believe your assignment will bring glory to God and His kingdom on earth, and I believe your joy will be completed, and I believe there will be a peace of heaven here on earth if you finish your assignment. A touch of heaven here on earth if you finish your assignment. And so let me just finish by saying, remember then what you have received and heard and obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I'll come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. And so here are the three F's on how not to fail your assignment. The three F's on how not to fail your assignment. Number one is be faithful. Remember what you received, heard, and obey it. Be faithful. Simply show up sometimes. Be faithful to it. Like I said, I don't know how I finished high school. I'm glad I did. But I don't know how I finished it. Maybe I don't know how because it was like 20 years ago that I've been in high school now. Wow. Yikes. Some of you are like 20. Man, it's been 50 years for me. But anyways. Just be faithful. And I think faithfulness is one of the hardest things for Americans. You know, it's a simple thing, right? But for some reason, it's just one of the hardest things for us in America. Faithful. Just be faithful to what God has given you. Just be faithful to what you've received, faithful to what you've heard, and obey it. Be focused. Be focused. Rick Warren talks about a light diffused really doesn't do much. But if you ever focus a light, you focus it enough and it could rip through steel. It's called a laser. Be focused. Again, you can't do everything. And if you try, you'll burn out. You can't do everything. You can't finish everyone else's assignment. Don't worry about everyone else's passion. But focus on what God has given you. The passion He gave you. Focus on that. And be excellent in that. No matter how small it is. I mean, it could just be focused on a single Bible verse. These days, instead of me trying to finish the entire Bible, reading the entire Bible, I just felt God telling me to focus on 1 Timothy. Just read 1 Timothy. And so I've been just reading 1 Timothy over and over and over again. You know, you don't have to be an expert at everything. In fact, if you try, you'll be an expert at nothing. But be focused at what God has given you. Just be focused. Be faithful, be focused, and be fearless. And what do I mean by be fearless? It's not the absence of fear. That's called something else. Being fearless is fearing the right thing. And what do I mean by fearing the right thing? The fear of the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you'll be fearless in every other aspect of your life. Just like men and women in the Bible. You hear the story of people like Daniel, who feared the Lord. And he feared the Lord so much that he was fearless in the face of death. Thrown into the lion's den. Fearless. I mean, he had a cushy job. But because he feared the Lord, he put that job on the line. He was fearless. To be fearless is to fear the Lord. And the paradox about fearing the Lord is when you fear the Lord, His perfect love casts out all fear. And so, it's not the absence of fear, but when we fear the Lord, everything else, every other obstacle, every other distraction will fail in comparison to God's provision. Be fearless. The three F's on how not to fail your assignment. Be faithful, be focused, and be fearless. Let me just say, we need to wake up to our assignment. Now again, what is that assignment for you? Some of you, you just need to ask, Lord, what have you called me to do here on earth? And of course, there are the basics. Worship God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. But there are other things that God has put in your heart, passions in your heart that other people don't have, that if you finish that assignment, it will bring glory here on earth to the Father. And you'll taste, and people around you will taste a touch of heaven here on earth as it is in heaven. And when non-believers taste heaven here on earth, they become hungry for the things of heaven. And that's when you say, well, it's just simply Jesus. But finish your assignment. Let me just say this again. Wake up, finish your assignments, be faithful, focused, and fearless. Let's pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray that You would reveal to each and every one of us what it is that You want us to accomplish here on earth. And Father, I just pray right now that You would give each and every one of us an extra measure of faithfulness where we have been called. Yes, Lord. Father, I pray for just Your grace to be faithful, and Your power to be focused, and Your wisdom to be fearless, Lord. Father, may Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.